Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, guys, that game was probably one of the most exciting, frustrating, interesting, intriguing, all rolled up into one games in Foxborough, in, you know, Gillette Stadium history.
Plus, they had to use the defibrillators on you like three different times.
Besides that.
At least you didn't turn the game off, though. We had some fans on the post-game show that said they actually turned the game off and watched a movie for a little while because they were so distraught
that
the team was
I don't get that.
Madagascar.
Yeah,
that was the choice, Madagascar 3.
But, you know, for those of us who watched the whole 60 minutes, I mean, do you agree? I mean, it was
Phenomenal. Everything
wrapped up into one game.
It was Colts-esque in those days of the 2006 comeback in the AFC title game, heavyweight fight, whatever you want to term it. And I don't think either team lost it. That's what made it nice, too, is that each team made mistakes. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't perfect football, but they made plays, and they kept going at each other right down to the end. I mean, even the Hail Mary, you don't think it's going to be completed, but there's a little bit of you that's like,
then you think of everything that transpired.
Right.
You're like, anything can happen in this game.
So, and I would start with Brady and just a phenomenal classic. I think it was his best performance since the Carolina Super Bowl.
Yeah, to me, it was a 180 from what I thought was going in. My confidence for the Patriots win was based on the defense. And here we are back to the future. And the reason they won was why they've always won, Tom Brady.
And I was with you. I had the confidence in the defense going out. I was very disappointed, but this is the kind, you know, for much as we talked all season, it's different now. You know, they can score 16 or 17 points, and they won't necessarily be dead. It came back to, can Tom Brady play at a higher level, and can Tom Brady carry the offense on his back? And I thought he and Gronkowski did, and they were able to make the plays twice down 14 points. And to Andy's point, it wasn't just that he made good throws. We've seen him do that a million times. But with the amount of pressure that he was under, both pressure on the scoreboard in the situation and physical pressure from Baltimore, because that front came after him and pounded him throughout the game, periodically more severely than others. But to stand in, some of the throws he made, one of the throws he made to Gronkowski over the middle while getting pounded was just really impressive. It was vintage Brady, like Andy said.
And I have to, I don't know if apologize is the right word, but I wasn't so sure.
That.
Well, that's true. I wasn't so sure he was capable of that anymore. I thought the game plan was you hit Brady, you get to Brady. Not only will it take him out of his game, but he'll start to anticipate the pressure, but, you know, ghosts and all that. This was the exact opposite. He kept stepping into throws. He was banged up. You had that one where he got driven into the ground. He came up. It looked like he was a little lame, and he just kept making plays. That was phenomenal.
So anyone that says Baltimore was tougher, not really true. Patriots were tough enough, but I really do think in the physical game, Baltimore had the edge in this game. When you look at the trenches, they were pushing around the Patriots' defensive line. The offensive line was having trouble. They couldn't run a lick.
Yeah.
But they still won the game. And do you call it brain over brawn for this game?
Well, I think that your best player played at an exceptionally high level, as we said. But yeah, you're right. I thought Baltimore did control both lines of scrimmage, and especially Baltimore's offensive line, the way they ran the ball. But you get to the trick stuff that the Patriots did, and that might have, in a game that was so tight, 4-point game, came down to the last plays. You know, you run those ineligible receiver plays and then the double pass. That might have been just enough. That one drive might have been just enough to get you over the top. At a time, by the way, 28-14. You were teetering midway through the third quarter. If you don't score on that drive, it's probably going to take on a much different tenor in the second half. So I don't think it's a stretch to say what you just did, Freddie. It was at a time when they needed something different, the coaches dialed something up. So what does it come down to again? Just like we used to say in the last 10 years, coach, quarterback. That was the difference.
So we're all excited about the win moving on to Indy, but we're concerned. We're concerned about the offensive line. Brian Stork leaving the game with, you know, some type of leg injury. You know, that's a big deal going into this game.
Well, with or without Stork, the offensive line continues to be a big deal. This isn't a one-game thing where, okay, you know, the Ravens just have a big physical front. They can do it inside and out, because actually the tackles were pretty good in their matchups with Suggs and Doomerville. It was more the inside with Nada and Williams and some of those guys. But this goes back, you know, 4, 5, 6 games, San Diego, Green Bay, where these lines have given the Patriots problems. And now all we talked about is, you know, when they have to use Klein, when they have to use Cannon, things really start to look bad. Well, you may have to use one of those guys this week, moving forward, whatever it is. So they have a challenge. Now, the good thing is, for at least 1 week, you're not going to face a front that's anything like Baltimore or anything like what you would probably face in a Super Bowl. So you have maybe a growing period here, even though you are in the title game.
And coaching edge again, Belichick over Pagano.
Okay.
Hey, how about Danny Amendola's contributions on Saturday? We've seen him contribute a little bit on special teams since he became the kick returner, but haven't seen as much on offense. On Saturday night, he came through when they really needed it most. I know a lot of people are going to focus on the long touchdown pass, the 51-yarder that tied the game with the double pass from Julian Edelman, but I thought much more impressive was the first touchdown that he scored that tied the game the first time when he made a guy miss in the flat, dove for the end zone, really reckless abandon. This is the kind of thing that they thought they were getting from Amendola 2 years ago. We haven't seen much of it, but really needed it on Saturday, and he came up big when they needed it most. Going to switch sides and move over to defense now. Talk a little bit about the secondary. Logan Ryan, specifically, he had to come off the bench for Brandon Browner in the second half, and the Patriots got away with it. I didn't think his coverage was great. I thought he let Torrey Smith get by him a couple of times, but Joe Flacco wasn't able to take advantage. I'm a little concerned about that, though, against the Colts, because Andrew Luck has a lot of different weapons to use, a lot of different receivers. A guy like Dante Moncrief, who's really been a home run hitter for them in the second half of the season, I think Logan Ryan might be asked to cover him a little bit in this game, even if Browner is back and in the lineup. So that's an area of concern for me. Ryan needs to be a little bit tighter in his coverage. My last point today I wanted to touch on is really just kind of the randomness of playoff football and how one play here or there can really change the outcome and end a season. The Patriots had a lot of those kinds of plays on Saturday. Unfortunately, almost every one of them went their way. Three different times they lost the football on fumbles. Twice they were able to get it back, and on the third one when Shane Vereen lost it, the replay showed that he was already down before the fumble occurred, so the Patriots were allowed to maintain possession. But Chris Jones getting Danny Amendola's fumble and Julian Edelman somehow being able to recover his own fumble, any one of those plays goes differently, and I think the Baltimore Ravens are probably moving on and playing in the AFC title game this week. So just kind of the randomness, the luck, if you want to call that, playoff football, it's where it's all on the line.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Whether it's to block, whether it's to run the ball, whether it's to catch, I mean, I'll do whatever they ask.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week. This week, I'm focusing on guys that don't always get a lot of the credit. Here's Logan Ryan with a breakup of Owen Daniels. Danny Amendola had a big game. Here he is diving for the end zone. Finally, Michael Manawanui had a big game, was open on a lot of key plays for Tom Brady.
Player Perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
I talked about him a little earlier in the show. Now we're going to be joined by Danny Amendola, Patriots wide receiver here in the Patriots locker room. Danny, different kind of season for you. You know, it started off, special teams were your big contributions, and now all of a sudden you really get an opportunity to show what you can do as a receiver. It had to be really rewarding to come up with the big plays that you did against Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody on this team has a role, and to get your job done is, you know, is the goal. So that's all I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to make plays and be there for my teammates.
Now, this team you're going to face this week, Indianapolis, looks a little different to me. When I watched them play Denver, they looked a little different than they did against you guys back a couple of months ago. What differences have you seen defensively, specifically in the secondary?
You know, they've been a good ball team all year. They play hard. They play fast. They have guys that, you know, fly to the ball, and they have great athletes, and we're well coached. So, you know, we're going to have a good week of preparation this week, and we're all looking forward to it, you know, this weekend.
Special teams-wise, I wanted, before I let you go, you talked a lot about just getting the opportunity and enjoying playing special teams. We've seen you do kicks. We've seen you do punts. Is it all the same to you? It's just in terms of getting the ball, getting upfield, and trying to make a play?
I've been doing kickoffs and punt returns, so it's a big transition of field position, and it can create, you know, excitement within the play. It can, you know, create a spark, and you know, I love being a part of something like that.
Last one, I'll let you go. Just one game away, an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. What would it mean for you to get a chance to play in the Super Bowl?
You know, it's been the goal the whole year, and to be the best team in the NFL, and you know, we're going to try to go out and prove that this weekend.
Talking about the biggest matchup in this football game, and it's all about Andrew Luck against the Patriots defense. Is Luck, the former number one overall pick, third season ready to ascend to truly elite status, knock off Tom Brady on the road, Foxborough AFC title game? Luck was great this season, led the NFL in touchdowns, top seven in passer rating, but still turns the ball over too often. 20th in interception percentage this year, also fumbled six times and lost those, but he has done a better job against the Patriots. Three interceptions, four interceptions, only one interception this year. Still an impressive total of eight interceptions in only three games, but if Andrew Luck is good, he might just be able to carry his team to the upset. Andrew Luck led the number one passing offense in the National Football League during the regular season, but he did it more by spreading the ball around than having truly elite targets. T.Y. Hilton is the main guy, 80-plus catches, 1,200-plus yards, big play guy. And that means, guess what? I think you use Darrell Revis on T.Y. Hilton, try to take away that top target, but that doesn't totally stagnate the passing game for the Colts. Nine guys with 20 or more catches, eight guys with two or more touchdowns. So Luck can spread the ball around, but if you take away Hilton with Revis, should be a first step towards victory. And finally, you knew I'd get there, the running game. Patriots didn't hand the ball off to a running back once in the second half against the Baltimore Ravens. Didn't try to run the football at all. Last time they played the Colts in Indy, we all know what happened. Ran it 40-plus times for nearly 250 yards. 201 of those yards came from Jonas Gray, four touchdowns, breakout game. Patriots need to run the football again, be more balanced in this game than we saw a week ago. The Colts are still not very good against the run. Even in their win at Denver last week, allowed 4.8 yards per carry. Patriots offensive line get the job done. Jonas Gray, LeGarrette Blount carry the football against a defense that's still susceptible to the ground game.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
The offensive was line was pounded, a problem, and they were still able to score 35 points
right,
because the coaches
because
made
Tom Brady
sure of
made
that.
Plays.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, called it Tuck Rule 2. He was referring to the Dez Bryant non-catch that gave last Sunday's divisional playoff game to the Green Bay Packers. Right call, bad rule. And with the league's convoluted method for determining a catch, they screwed themselves into what might have been the Super Bowl matchup of the ages if both teams managed to get past their conference championships. I'm talking about Patriots-Cowboys. Could you imagine that? Other than their own fan bases, these are the two teams everyone loves to hate, yet can't resist watching. It would easily be the most watched Super Bowl of all time. Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, Darrell Revis, Dez Bryant. It would be epic if only the league could figure out what a catch is.
I'm going to move around to my around the NFL and talk about a team that I think most people thought the Patriots would be playing this week, and that's the Denver Broncos. I'm not exactly sure what happened in Denver and where it all went wrong, but in retrospect, when you see what happened 24 hours after they were eliminated by the Indianapolis Colts, it all seems to make a little bit sense. First of all, we found out that Peyton Manning, definitive, we all thought he was, but definitively had an injury, and a quad injury for a quarterback is very important. We all know the amount of leg strength and the torque that Manning puts in his passes. That was a big factor, but more so than any of that, the fact that John Fox was out, and they all knew it in Denver. They knew that coach was not going to be there for the long haul, and they knew that the end was near. John Fox is out as Broncos coach. This was a team we didn't know it at the time, but that was in total turmoil and disarray, and the Patriots certainly are happy for that.
Legacies are a funny thing. I believe once you establish them for the good, they can't really be tarnished. They can't be taken away unless you do something terrible. Murder, rape, you know what they are. We've seen them in the sports world, unfortunately. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. Even if they don't win another Super Bowl, greatest quarterback coach tandem ever. And Peyton Manning, limping into his potential retirement. Guess what? If he comes back next year and isn't very good, still one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Once you establish a great legacy, you keep it.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Huge win for the Patriots on Saturday night to advance the AFC Championship. Great performances by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Paul, who deserves more credit for the win?
Bill Belichick.
Why?
Because they were in trouble. They were struggling. The guys on the field got them in trouble. and the coaches decided to change things up a little bit. And I thought specifically the ideas, the thought to do things differently on offense in the third quarter, I thought really changed the momentum. I understand how good Brady was, but to me, if Belichick and Josh McDaniels don't come up with what they did in the third quarter when they were down 28-14, really facing elimination, that to me was the turning point of the game, and that changed the whole momentum.
How many times did Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels get hit right in the ribs and right in the head and right in the shoulder? Zero.
They may have felt like they got hit in the ribs a lot.
Took an absolute beating and still made great throws, great plays, ran for a touchdown, threw for three, just stood in for the pressure that we said he couldn't stand in for anymore and made plays. That game plan was adequate at best. The Patriots were a big favorite, the more dominant football team. They were in a dogfight, and they needed 12 to carry him out of it.
Yeah, I didn't think the game plan was all that bad. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that they ended up doing offensively and defensively were things that you and I talked about probably expecting.
I didn't care for the part where they said, don't protect Brady.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily what I said, but I know how you like to do that. But we both thought
that they stunned you there for
a second. We both thought they wouldn't run the ball a whole lot, and they didn't. We both thought they would use a lot of zone coverages on defense, and they did. The problem is they didn't play well enough, and the coaches changed things up. The players on the field didn't do it. And even Brady, listen, you're not going to get me into a fight or an argument that Brady wasn't great. He was great. But he wasn't consistently great in that game, and that was one of the reasons why they fell behind. If they weren't so off at the beginning of the game, they might not have had to resort to those Shane Vereen as an ineligible receiver, and certainly the double pass that really caught everybody by surprise. But without that, without the trickeration, I'm not sure they win the football
game. Who's responsible for making sure a team is prepared to start a football game? The coach, right?
I think the players are responsible for playing, and the coaches are responsible for coaching.
So the coach is supposed to get them ready to get off to a good start, to have a good game plan. Okay. They didn't do that. They dug a hole. Tom Brady literally had to carry this team out of it. And I'm not saying everybody played well. I thought the defense was pretty bad. Back end, front end, all over the place. I thought the offensive line was sketchy. But guess who was great? Number 12 once again showed he is the reason you win in New England. A little bit of help from Rob Gronkowski, okay. But that's a different topic.
Well, that's the second time you brought up the sketchy nature of the offensive line. And again, I agree with you. I thought it was sketchy. So what did the coaches do? They made sure the offensive line didn't cost them the game by game planning around it. They got the ball out of Tom Brady's hands quickly. They made sure that the Baltimore front seven didn't take over the game. And that was why they were able to put the points on the board that they did.
You think Tom felt like the offensive line wasn't a problem?
The offensive line was a problem, and they were still able to score 35 points because the coaches made sure of that.
Because Tom Brady made plays. Even when he was getting hit, he made plays. That throw to Brandon LaFell was as good a throw as you can possibly make. And for a quarterback to make that late in a game after the pounding he took from that defensive front, he carried you to victory.
Again, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Tom Brady in that game. I thought he was terrific.
The better football team was in a dogfight, and they needed their leader to lead them out of it.
The game plan is what got them through.
Ridiculous.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip, brought to you by DraftKings. On a two-game schedule, such as championship weekend, you'll need to dig deep to separate yourself from the pack. One way to separate yourself from the rest of the field is to stack your quarterback with two or three of his favorite receiving weapons. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
All right, it's that time of the show where we get to the questions you sent to us at AskPFW@Patriots.com. And this first one comes from Michael Blockland. And he says, last week, Terrell Suggs made an incredible interception between his legs. However, he bobbled it on the way to the ground. Why was that ruled a valid interception while Dez Bryant's catch was not a reception?
Well, in the Suggs case, the ball never actually hit the ground. He bobbled it the whole time, but he trapped it in between his legs. Not all that dissimilar to Julian Edelman's catch this week, where he sort of lost it on the way down and, again, trapped it between his knees. The ball never hit the ground. In Dez Bryant's case, I hate the rule, but the ball did make contact with the ground, and the NFL rule stipulates that you have to complete the process of the catch all the way to the ground. That's why that was incomplete, and that's why the Suggs interception stood.
Of course, NFL rules also say et cetera, and I don't know why that's in there, what that even means.
That's a whole nother show.
More or less.
Ben Cherry writes in, please tell Bill Belichick to give up on the 3-4. Every time we run it, we can't get pressure and leave wide open running lanes. I feel like we defend the run better in our nickel defense. So it's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah, and they're not running a ton of 3-4 anymore. That was more early in the year. They're more what he's talking about, sort of that 4-2-5 look that they use with either an extra safety or an extra cornerback out there, Hightower and Collins are your inside linebackers. And they tweak it based on, you know, the Ravens are a physical front, the Colts are a less physical front, you know, Ayers, Chris Jones, Branch, some of those guys moving them around. But, you know, they do a lot of things up front. I think, you know, Bill always says multiple. This may be as multiple as they've been in a long time. And I think a lot of that is the personnel, the guys they have. Chandler Jones isn't necessarily suited for any one role, and they have guys they can move around. So I think they've been as multiple this year as ever.
It's more than multiple. It's exponential.
Okay.
All right. Sean Jessamine says, if the Patriots beat the Colts, and play in the Super Bowl, do you think Revis is more likely to stay in New England if the Patriots win, or is he more likely to stay if the Patriots lose?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this question is. I don't know what's going on in Darrelle Revis's mind. I will state my opinion on the matter is I think Darrelle Revis will be back. I think he really likes it here. I think he enjoys being part of the secondary. I think he enjoys playing for Bill Belichick and in a defense that does some different things. On Andy's point, the multiple aspect also applies to the secondary. We saw a lot of zone last week. We saw some mixed coverages. They do allow him to match up one-on-one with the best receiver, so he gets a little taste of that as well. I think Darrelle Revis likes being in New England. I think he'll be back. I don't know if the Super Bowl win, loss, or appearance will have anything to do with that, but I think he's back.
And I think the wind has changed direction a little bit on that. I think a lot of people thought he was a one-year mercenary, but over the last month or so, it seems more reporters are kind of saying they're inclined to think he will be back. There was one report, the Boston Herald seems to think it could get done quickly and right before, you know, the date where they need to make a decision on the bonus for next year that he's already under contract with. So I think that's turned a little bit. I was of the belief that if they lost, it might help the idea. He might really want that ring and come back for one more try. But now everybody seems to think he's coming back.
Well, I think even the bigger question is that people have is, will the Patriots pay what it will take to keep him here? And I think they will. I think that's money well spent.
Well, he's not coming back for, you know,
no, I
three
know.
Cents on
well,
the dollar.
Well, he's under contract for next year, right now.
The $25 million cap hit.
Yeah, well, listen, I think the Patriots are going to do what it takes to keep him here. But, you know, where else are you going to spend that money? All right, that's this week's questions. Send them to us at askpfw@patriots.com.